GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now you're welcome back. Without doubt, the footballing shock of the weekend came at Healy Park, where Fermanagh, courtesy of a very late Owen Donnelly goal, beat Monaghan by 1-8 to 10 points. And cue pandemonium, and cue a first provincial final for Fermanagh since 2008. And they, of course, alongside Wicklow, are one of just two counties that have never won their provincial title. To discuss, we have former All-Ireland winner with Tyrone, Enda McGinley, on the line. Evening, Enda.
Evening.
So this was, these things are always described as masterstrokes when they come off, but we'll call it a masterstroke on Rory Gallagher's behalf. I suppose if you were to put yourself inside his head pre-game, he was largely thinking, we'll give ourselves a puncher's chance here, and it came off.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose Rory Gallagher probably wouldn't. Like, I work alongside as the Fermanagh team doctor, and he just texted me beforehand, be ready for an ambush, was what he said. And I was chatting to the ex-Fermanagh goalkeeper on Saturday night. I was up in Belfast with Michael McIntyre, and he too had this real optimism that in Fermanagh they sensed that an upset was on. Nobody outside of it really seen it. I was chatting to Mark McGrath, obviously ex-Fermanagh captain the last time they got to the Ulster final before the game. And he said, look, there is that optimism, but it's generally within the bubble. And he sort of knowingly sort of said to me, look, like, we as ex-players sort of know that within the bubble you always believe totally that anything's possible. But he didn't really see it, and that was an experienced player. But Rory Gallagher, he's an experienced manager. He would know that, absolutely as you describe, you have to do everything you can, keep it really, really tight, make it really, really difficult for Monaghan. And then, as the underdog always does, generally you need that wee rub of the green. They done everything that they needed, and then Lady Luck shone on them, and they get over the line for a brilliant result.
Yeah. Your old pal Ryson McMenamin was on OTBAM this morning, and here was just a very short clip of him telling the lads there about the defensive setup for Fermanagh went with.
Listen, there's no real setup. People think they get bogged down, especially in Gaelic football. They get bogged down in tactics, and I think anyone playing the game, running and going, it's hard work. And I think our boys grafted, and we grafted maybe our full forward and probably worked really, really hard. And it's just about just more or less, we just want to be tight at the back, and we just want to make it as difficult for teams to score against us. And when you play it that day, I think their front three work extremely hard just to close down the space and just always make sure that the middle's compact. You know, and we're no different than Dublin. Only Dublin seem to get away with it. But Dublin always makes sure their front three work very hard and get behind the ball. And we're no different. And I think it's any team. If you look at Liverpool, Salah, Firmino, they all work really, really hard, and it's no different. And even Pep Guardiola and Man City, like, his first thing that he works on is defence, and then because he knows if he's a good defence, he can attack better. And we're no different. If we have a good defence, it keeps us in the game, and we know it gives us a good base to attack.
There you are, Ryan McManaman speaking this morning. He's part of the Fermanagh coaching setup. I don't know, could you see him there, Enda? But he's ready for Game of Thrones or whatever audition he's going for soon. I mean, he's well prepped.
Absolutely, he's going through a bit of an image overhaul, the same as Moxie's run through a couple of times up here. But no, Ricey, the devilment, anytime I hear Ricey, and I know him well, and I've come up against him at club level, I've played alongside and shared a dressing room with him for long enough and be very close to him. No matter whenever I'm just hearing Ricey talk like that, there is devilment in him and it runs thick. So yeah, you always have to take with a wee pinch of salt the fact that he's saying there's no real defensive system there. To a degree, I would see that. I think we overstate or overcomplicate things. I think the likes of Fermanagh, they worked really, really hard, but I think there was some sort of a system at work. I was reading an article by Jim McGuinness, and he was talking of a capital T formation. Now, I don't know if it was as sort of drawing board work like that there, or work off a drawing board like that there. But undoubtedly, Fermanagh worked really hard. They certainly, their forwards worked very hard coming out. But it was just a collective team effort that shook Monaghan. And then that, along with Monaghan's Monaghan were badly off colour and made a lot of unforced errors. And playing against a defensive system, you can't. That's the sort of cheap mistakes you can't afford to make.
Yeah, McGuinness, when he's talking about that capital T, I suppose, he was talking about 7-8 players across maybe the 45-yard line and then a line down the middle of strength. When you say it's overstated, and McMenamin there talks about it being slightly overstated, do we just on the outside maybe underestimate the number of variables on the pitch and how difficult it is to even predict what the hell's going to happen, and therefore having regimented you need to be in this exact spot for this period of time on the pitch, that just doesn't translate, that just doesn't work? Is that the key reason why?
Absolutely. I think a game is so fluid. There is so many variables. You've 30 players are all doing their own thing. Essentially, I suppose it's from my own playing days when we would have been seen as quite a tactical team, and Mickey Hart would have been a superb tactician. But more often than not, we sort of were going out, and for me, it was relatively basic, and we had all played football, we'd all worked really, really hard. We knew we wanted to move the ball fast, we knew we wanted the basics, we knew we wanted to support the man, we knew we wanted to release the ball in early to our hit men up front. And you would come away with it, and you would read articles, and you would hear analysts talking about lots of tactics that simply were not happening for us. So it's very easy for us on the outside to look into it and try to see things, and there's lots of dots on a page, and we like to connect the dots and make a picture, but maybe there's just lots of dots on a page. So I know from being within a circle and being outside the circle, I don't think you can truly understand what a team's trying to do, because a team, even if they have the strictest plans on pages, whenever that hits game situation, the famous Mike Tyson quote, everybody has a plan until they get hit. Yeah. Well, that's completely true for championship football. So a team that's coming out with very strict plans, I don't think will win anything, because it will go awry. I think the great strength of Dublin is that they don't have a very strict plan. I think they've principles to their play, and extremely high skill levels and extremely high conditioning levels. And that's the key. On Sunday, we've seen Fermanagh bring serious conditioning, because famously they've been out since October working exceptionally hard. And that they were sort of being laughed at the time, but it is paying off. They've massive conditioning, and they needed that on Sunday. They have huge belief, and Rory Gallagher has been able to do that. And they have a simple, hard-working game plan that suits their abilities. And again, they went without their key forward. That was a huge statement by Rory Gallagher to start the game, to drop Seamus Quigley out of principle. Because he had set a rule, Seamus Quigley broke it, and he dropped it, and he refused to use him, even though Fermanagh were going deep into their subs towards the latter end of that game, and a famous result was on the cards. Yeah. He still refused to use him. So that shows a strength of unity and a team that really knows what they're about.
Yeah, it's such a win-win for a manager when that happens. And so, you know, like in every front, it just it can't work out better. And for Monaghan then, did they panic? Like you talked about them underperforming, because we can be slightly harsh on them. With a few minutes to go, it looked like we would be saying here on the Monday or the Tuesday, well, Fermanagh made it difficult, and ultimately Monaghan came through and won by a point or two. But for Donnelly at the end, you know, a goal changes the complexion of the whole thing. Just before the Donnelly goal, you would have said, fair enough, Monaghan have kind of just done enough here, and it was always going to be a sticky game.
Yeah, I suppose going into that, I never thought that Monaghan would come out with an impressive win. I thought they would come out with a hard-fought, awkward win where it wouldn't look good, it wouldn't be a great game, but that they would do enough to get over. And then you would think that would suit them all right for building into an Ulster final. It would dampen some of the expectation that was really building around the team. But as the game got underway, they were just doing really uncharacteristic things, like completely unforced errors. Ryan McInnesby kicked the ball completely out over the sideline when he had an easy pass to make. There was another pass over my side of the pitch where I think it was a pass out to Carol O'Connell, and just a complete misread. And both players showed at that stage a real exasperation with each other. Both players sort of shrugged and were annoyed at each other. So there was just this general thing within the Monaghan team that it just wasn't working. Then Conor McManus was being well marshalled by Shea Cullen. Rory Began came up to hit a free and he missed. They were getting some wee calls off the referee, which done Fermanagh no harm, and again just meant that Monaghan were chasing the game. And Monaghan are used, in Division 1, they are used to being like the underdog team whenever they're playing Kerry, Dublin, even when they're playing Tyrone or Mayo, Galway. Monaghan loves the underdog tag, and that's their mentality. With an underdog, the more vaunted team has to come out and come to you. They have to bring the game. Monaghan can sit back and push back at them. On Sunday, Monaghan were the vaunted team for a man a setback, and suddenly Monaghan had to bring the game and force it. Whenever you're that team and you're trying to force it, there's an expectation on you that you should be winning this game, and when that's not happening, you start to get frustrated. Absolutely, they could have still come through it, but when it's that tight and that low scoring, you're always vulnerable to that to that goal at the sucker punch at the end.
Yeah, it's very understandable. It's taken Dublin quite some time to be absolutely comfortable in that scenario where they are the favourites and the other team effectively have lined up, I suppose, like Tyrone last year or however teams line up against Dublin, and that it doesn't faze them and they're comfortable in that environment. And as you said, Monaghan won't be nearly as comfortable in that environment, and lads get tetchy with each other and it gets hot and it gets sticky. And also Fermanagh did, you know, they tried to turn this into a bit of a dogfight. Like, it was Needley, and I saw Oisin McConville and Marty Clark, I think it was, on television saying that any time a Monaghan player missed a free or missed a kick, Fermanagh lads were quick to let them know, and that's probably not an area of the game that we want to encourage. Although I know Tyrone brought that into football, so you're probably all for it.
That all started with Tyrone. No, look, it is part of the game, but I know from previous managers that have come up and previous players that have come up against Rory Gallagher on the sideline, he is on the verge of being uncontrolled on the sideline. Well, he looks controlled, but he is hugely antagonising on the sideline. Whether he means to be that or whether that's just him because of the energy and the how up for the game he is, but certainly his demeanour and his conduct doesn't make him loved by the other managers and gets under the skin. We've seen that in the first game. Paddy McKeever got sent off for Armagh for getting involved. Ricey famously is well able to get under people's skin, and they bring that, both of them bring that sort of aggression to the sideline. I was chatting to actually some of them on management a number of weeks ago whenever they'd beaten Tyrone and they were playing for Man, and I was saying yous'll have to be well behaved on the sideline, and even at that stage they were well aware and they were saying, oh yeah, absolutely, it'll be a tough day. And it was noticeable. Malachy O'Rourke and Leo McBride, his assistant, both stayed around the dugout, probably trying to take him away from that there. And when Fermanagh got the goal, Malachy O'Rourke was in the dugout, like he didn't want to be out near them. So there is that, but that's going to their advantage. Whenever you're a team like Fermanagh, you have to make everything to your advantage. And that mental test for the key players taking the big frees, the likes of Rory Beggan, he undoubtedly got dog's abuse. Niall Morgan famously got it against Donegal a number of years ago up in Ballybofey, and he somewhat cracked that day under the pressure because Donegal gave him dog's abuse. So plenty of teams do it and know about it, but it worked at three for Fermanagh.
It's very effective. Like, we can sit here and we can say it should be stamped out of the game, and it should be. Clearly, there's something very distasteful about it, and yet it is so effective. I mean, what's more annoying than a free taker who sets high standards and they're so angry with themselves and the situation, and then for someone else to come up and hit them with a cheap shot? Like, you can see why it's a tried and trusted method.
Yeah, it maximises the effectiveness. And for me, Championship football, particularly at county level, a lot of it is pressure within your own head, and a lot of players at that level of the game, a lot of that level of sports people tend to be fairly self-critical of themselves. They tend to be fairly harsh on themselves. The last thing you need is somebody else winding and stirring that pot up. So, but the best teams, the best winners, and Dublin in the past, to be honest, from a Tyrone point of view, we knew we were stronger in that side of the game, stronger mentally than they were. They often, there was a pressure on them. They maybe got caught up in some of the nicer things, and applauding the hill. I remember that well. The team we come up against, that Dublin team at the minute, they are solid in terms of that. There's no flapping them at all. In fact, they nearly love whenever the harder the game it is, the better. And that's why they are the team they were. Kilkenny Hurlers, absolutely very, very similar. The Galway team, both Galway Hurlers and the Galway Footballers seem to have taken a leaf, and they just come across as a harder team. So if you want to win in this game, you have to pass both the skill tests, but you have to pass the mental tests. And if you're weak in either one of them, you will be found out.
Yeah, no doubt. So Fermanagh go through then to a final. It's been some time since they were there, about a decade. And famously, as I mentioned at the outset, they've never won an Ulster Championship. What chance have they against Donegal and Down? I presume they'll go in as underdogs, and it will be largely a similar approach. We're going to stay in this game till the very end, and with 5 minutes to go, anything can happen.
Absolutely. Fermanagh's going to do exactly what they've done. There's going to be nothing new from them. They'll tweak themselves to target the opposition's main man. Down's unpredictable, but going on form in any sense of sort of reason, as much as that's useful this year when we've seen what Carlow has done and Leash has done and all these other teams have done. Donegal are the expected team to come out of Down. I've been very impressed with Donegal. They had a really exciting side last year and then they got completely annihilated by Tyrone, who burst their bubble in Galway, then doubled up the dose in the qualifier round. And the young players that had done so well in last year's National League were sort of, suddenly everybody was wise after the event and said, oh, they don't have it yet. They're going to need several years. But this year, they do look improved again. Them young players are a year older. They're hardier. There's no real excitement about them because they got relegated from Division 1, but they were nearly competitive right across them games and produced some great football. When you look at the Donegal team, it's a team of exciting talent, to be fair, particularly up front, and they've still got enough hardiness in the background too. My concern for them, they conceded quite heavily against Derry up in Celtic Park in the first round game, but I would expect them to come through against Down, and with that, that's a massive chance for an Ulster title for a young Donegal side. But Fermanagh will welcome it. Rory Gallagher will know Donegal inside out. He will know how to get under their skin as well.
I think we'll see a bit more of that,
Absolutely, and that will not be missed. But it's an Ulster title. At the minute, it's an Ulster title for Donegal to throw away, but Fermanagh will love that. That's exactly the story they will want developed, and for that matter, Down as well. But we'll see what way it pans out.
Enda McGinley, All-Ireland winner with Tyrone. Thanks as ever.
Thank you.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.